let's have a chat now with a man who I've known for a long, long time, a guy who has done wonderful work in the community and runs the National Street Soccer Program with the Big Issue. George Halkias joins us on the line in the Power and the Passion segment. Good morning to you, George.
Morning, Carlos. Nice to talk to you again.
Absolutely, mate. It's been a while, and I know you continue to do fantastic work in the community. I know that you've been doing some stuff with Melbourne City and, of course, the Homeless Street Soccer Program that you almost created and founded many, many years ago. Tell us about the National Street Soccer Program and, you know, how many participants has it grown to and how many years has it been running?
Yeah, well, I think we're up to about 13 years now. We started as a pilot program back in 2004-05, and I arrived at the Big Issue organisation that I hope many of your listeners are familiar with, but it has a proud history, helping homeless and marginalised people through the sales of that magazine. So when I arrived, we got an invitation to send a team to what's called the Homeless World Cup, and I scratched my head at the time, being a football lover, but also, you know, working in the helping professions, and I found out that across the world that this street soccer movement had started using football to change the lives of homeless and marginalised people, and embarked on a project with the then editor of the magazine to start engaging the people that were selling the magazine and also other people doing it tough to love the game and try and improve their lives through it. So we started as a pilot program, and 13 years later, and we became national in 2007. We now run in 18 locations around the country, and you know, we've helped since 2007 around 7,000 people engage through the program. So it's been a bit of a journey for the Big Issue and for myself, but I think most of us can understand the power of sport to, you know, support when you're down, to give you discipline, to give you purpose and belonging. And I guess it's based on those true values. But yeah, it's been a great journey and interesting to see where the program's grown from something small to, you know, a large-scale network across the country.
George, I've personally seen your work in prisons and also seen your work out in the community through the National Street Soccer Program, also the Homeless World Cup in Melbourne all those years ago. One of my favourite memories of everything I've done in football, that was one of the spectacular events that I'll never, ever forget. How tough was it? I know the momentum's built in the program now and the word's got around, probably people refer other people to the program. But when you first started, how were you able to get people who were down and out, who were rock bottom in their lives, to, you know, even contemplate playing football to help them with those other areas that you talked about, the self-esteem, the discipline, the sense of worth?
Look, it wasn't easy at the time, particularly with the vendors. I think we had to bribe a few with a few extra magazines for them to sell. But it took a bit of encouragement, understanding that sometimes their life can be pretty chaotic. They got a lot happening, lots of appointments with different people trying to help them. But I guess just explain to them that it was less about the actual sport in itself, and it was about the camaraderie and the support and coming together and having fun. So yeah, they'd learn some new skills and get fitter and all those sort of things that football offers, but we wanted to create a safe environment that they would enjoy, and that's what happened, I guess, through word of mouth and through communication to a lot of the agencies and services that support these people. You know, we grew, and it's not that easy, because a lot of these people, as I said, face different challenges, you know, mental health and depression. So for some of them, getting out of bed just to get to a training session is a huge achievement in itself. So for some, a healthy nudge and persistent sort of encouragement from myself or someone locally to do that. So we continually try and grow our programs, but we understand that there are barriers to participation. And so we do rely on, you know, key organisations that help these people to bring people along to their training, to their sessions, and you know, try and get there. Once they get there, they're pretty much a captured audience. They love it, and they come back on a weekly basis. And some of the players have actually been in the program for many years, and the program is their family, it's their community, and being a part of it is you know, really important to them.
Well, the Homeless World Cup itself gives them a bit of a bit of a direction, a bit of something to aspire to. And this year in Oslo in 2017, they had the Homeless World Cup. I'd like to keep an eye on how the boys have gone. Can you tell us how it all went for you this year?
Yeah, are you checking rankings? Or how
no, no, I'm just quite happy for them to turn up and have a kick around.
Yeah, I know. I think my friends and a few others often laugh because, you know, we usually pick our team on attitude and attendance and capacity for people to turn their lives around. So sometimes the football results don't go our way. But what we do when we do get over there and what we did in Oslo was really represent our country with distinction, show that spirit of what our program's about, which is changing lives. A respect for the opportunity that they had, respect for the referees, etc. And our team did brilliantly well. Oslo is a beautiful city. Norway's a great country. We got to do some sightseeing. We got to go to a World Cup qualifier. Actually, we saw Norway versus Azerbaijan, which was awesome for them to get that experience as well. So for the eight people that got to come with us, it was a beautiful experience to represent their country, go overseas, and, you know, when they're given opportunity, they can lift. And I'm happy to say that a lot of them have come back and transitioned well and looking at different sort of dreams in life and trying to use that as a platform to move forward. So, yeah, it was a great experience. And I think we've been to 9 Homeless World Cups, and you were there in 2008 in Melbourne. They're pretty unique events, pretty special events where people from all over the world come to celebrate the power of football to change their lives. And yeah, we're almost 10 years since that event in Melbourne. So, you know, the legacy of that event, of course, is our national program. So the whole purpose of the Homeless World Cup that took place in Melbourne was to grow our program and engage government and the like. And that's what's happened. So our vision was realised.
Might be time for another one in Melbourne there, George. You were so successful at Federation Square. I'll never forget. It was fantastic, mate. And really, it was one of those ones where I could see the inspiration that the players got from all those people. I mean, we had packed crowds at Federation Square and also Byron Maher down the road, and just such excitement around that. Just, it would have been life-changing for some of those players.
Oh, I think it was life-changing for the players, and I think we had 1,000 volunteers, including yourself, on the commentary box. People came together. It showed a care and compassion to those who were facing those challenges, gave people a sense that people cared about them, but also they drew inspiration from each other. And so, you know, the 500-odd players that were there enjoyed the experience. But I think the crowds were massive. I don't know if you recall, but we had coverage from SBS, and the late Les Murray was there supporting us, and Craig Foster, and they televised the final live. And so just to get the whole community behind us really showed, you know, a sense of community. And I guess that's what football does offer. But that was a great event. Whether it comes back to Melbourne, I think, or to another city in Australia is up for discussion, but it's a huge role, you know, to put that in place. But what the great thing was for the outcome was to have that national program eventuate out of that event. So we're very lucky to have that. And recently we received 4-year funding from the Federal Department of Health. So our program's in good stead and period of consolidation for us, which is a good thing.
So, George, how about, I mean, they're real feel-good events and people go away, you know, really being uplifted by what happened. I mean, even the spectators, like I said, the volunteers and the players themselves. But, you know, that can sort of wear off and people go back to their normal lives. Tell us about some success stories where players have actually used, you know, what you're doing in the actual program as a building block for, you know, really turning their lives around.
Yeah, look, for some of our players, I'll be honest, just getting them there for 2 hours and getting them exercised and out of trouble is a good thing. But for others, through the program, A, they try and improve their health, but we try and connect them to services and supports. But some of our players come with a range of different issues that they face. You know, you might recall one of our players back in 2008 who was a recovering alcoholic, a former professional jockey, and he was able to, you know, study in the field of alcohol and substance abuse and become a worker and the like. And he ended up bringing players and referring players to our training. So he sort of did the full 360, which was pretty awesome. But a number of them, and I guess I get to share a longitudinal study and watch them over the years and see how they've improved. People with mental health that you never would have thought that could turn up to one session. And, you know, been coming for 5, 6, 7 years and, you know, starting to be employed, starting to work and study and function in the community like the rest of us. So it's great and inspiring to watch. We're not the only sort of factor to it. There's a lot of great services out there that work with the participants. And I think the thing that we always espouse is they get the right professional support. But what we do is give them the stability, the purpose and the belonging. And a real constant. So in a week that can be pretty chaotic, their training session with us is somewhere they can go for positivity, encouragement, mentoring. And more recently, we've introduced the health component. So when they come to training and get to kick that ball around, they'll also get information, advice about different aspects of health that can help them improve their health, because we know disadvantaged people do face enormous barriers to good health.
George, if people want to help, you know, support the program or just help you resource the program, I mean, is there anything they can do? Some of our listeners might be really, might trigger something off in their mind about wanting to help out or something like that. Is there something? Is there a website or something that people can do to do that?
If you can just jump onto the Big Issue website, www.bigissue.org.au, and contact us if you want to help. But there's different ways from coming down and playing. So I think one of the great things is that our players don't want to feel isolated or ostracised from the rest of the community. So we have corporate groups and community groups that come and play, which I think is pretty special. Some of the health professionals come and maybe do a short presentation about different areas of health, that, you know, information that might be useful to our players. Perhaps there's some kit or some equipment that people want to donate from their clubs that they haven't used or are not going to use again. It could be a range of ways that we can work towards that. Perhaps they can help us run a few small events. So within our local programs, we run some fun events. You know, they're organising their Christmas parties, a few tournaments, those sort of things. But, through a bit of discussion, we can work out a way. And, I guess most of us are driven by a love of the game. And when you see the passion with which our players engage the program and also the benefits that they get out of it, I think people would find it really rewarding to get involved.
Now, George, you're a guy that I believe is a hero in the community with all the work you do, and you've done for a long, long time. When it wasn't sexy, you were still doing it. You were starting these things up.
Is it sexy now?
I mean, sometimes it does get sexy with the big events. Everyone wants to be involved, but when it all quietens down, you're the one that is there as a constant. You do a lot of public speaking in this area, and you do a lot of presentation sort of stuff. If people want to get in touch with you and, hear your stories and how you can inspire people, what can they do? You haven't asked for this at all. I'm just letting people know out there that...
I appreciate that. Yeah. So very fortunate occasionally to be asked to tell my story, how the program evolved, to talk about community leadership and to talk about how sport can change the world and have social impact. So to a few corporate groups or a few groups that want to draw inspiration, I get out there and do tell my story. So they can contact me on my own website, which is georgehalkias.com.au. So appreciate that plug too.
No, I mean, you haven't asked for it. It's just something that I believe that you've got a story to tell, and you've helped so many people over the years. Like I said, when it wasn't sexy, and in these days when it's not sexy, you're still there as a constant, mate. But keep up the fantastic work. I've personally seen your work in the area of the National Street Soccer Program. The Homeless World Cup is one of the most uplifting experiences I've had in football, and I've done a lot across, been to World Cups, all that sort of stuff. It was just one of the most memorable experiences of my life. So keep it up, George, and we hope to have you again on the show soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for your support.
Good on you, mate. That's George Halkias, who founded the Big Issue National Street Soccer Program. A great man in the community. If you haven't heard about George Halkias, just get onto his website, give you an idea of the sort of man he is. This is Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR Football Nation Radio. There'll be more after the break, so stick around. FN.